football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball and kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, the ball, he scores, scoring the goals.
The ball to score a goal.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the League Podcast. It's a League 1 and 2 version. It's a bit of a special podcast today as well, because I need some sad music. I haven't got any sad music. It's Sam Ashu's final podcast.
Hang on, let me go get my violin.
I don't know what that is, actually. In celebration of this being your final podcast, Sam, my computer has literally shut down as we played the intro music. So,
that's why I'm leaving.
Yeah, I thought it would. I thought maybe you've sabotaged it or something before you go. So we'll also, at the end of this podcast, have Sam's replacement. So it'll be forgotten by next week. That's the way things work in this world. But your profit will be carried on, Sam, from the Naps.
Well, I hope so. No doubt about it. My protege should be taking things forward. And the only way is up.
I reckon you've got out at the right time, because you're struggling a little bit these days.
Well, we said before...
Pete and I are catching you up.
We said before, didn't we? I've not had a win in this year. It sounds awful, but I guess we're only 30 days into the year. Yeah, so it's not the end of the world.
No, I think it'll be all right. I think everything will be fine. So Sam's picked out three featured matches from League One, three featured matches from League Two as well. And then at the end, we'll introduce the new man, Jason Lewis, his name. It's no secret. Let's start, though, shall we, with Leyton Orient versus Scunthorpe United. Leyton Orient are priced up at... Ah, my computer comes back to life. That's good. Priced up at even money. It's 11-5, the draw, and Scunthorpe United are 3-1. I followed a Leyton Orient fan on Twitter for a long time, so I think he just caught my eye, you know, in the early days of being on Twitter, and it's just continued since then. It's a good laugh on there. Orient Meat Pie, he's called, and obviously they had a tremendous season last year. It was great to follow. Not so good this year, it's fair to say. They're 22nd with 26 points, 3 points adrift of safety. Scunthorpe United are on 30 points in 17th position. Only played 24 games, though, Scunny, so they could have a bit more to say about this this division as time goes on. But they need to start winning the games in hand as well, don't they? Orient versus Scunny, which way do you go?
I think there's far too much value in Scunthorpe United here, Lee. Unbeaten in their last 7 away games. In fact, they've been unbeaten in all away matches under Mark Robbins. When he first came in and took over from Russ Wilcox, who, of course, left Scunthorpe a couple of months into the season, Scunny had lost 4 out of 5 of their away games. He's come in, Mark Robbins, and like I say now, they're unbeaten in their last 7. So he's clearly looked at that and thought, one of our major problems here, and there was a few when he came in, one of our major problems is our away form. Let's rectify that and get some bonus points on the board. And that is exactly what he's done. So this is a team who aren't bad at Glanford Park now, certainly under Mark Robbins. They're very good away from home. And you compare that to Leyton Orient, who have the worst home record in League One. So, I mean, how often can you say that you've got an away side here who are unbeaten the last 7 away matches, going up against a home side with the worst home record in the league, and the away side is 3-1? It's madness, to be honest, Lee. So, I look at that and I think straight away, just completely on a results level, I think Scunthorpe are far too big at 3-1 here. And then I look at the squad as well that Scunny have got and the players that are coming into form. Mark Robbins has come out this week and said he's got a real selection headache now because players that he maybe wasn't necessarily... maybe didn't have in his plans for the future of his time at the club, or certainly players that he wasn't going to start anytime soon, are playing well. A player like Gary McSheffrey, 32 years old now, Football League veteran. Football League fans across the country will know what a good quality player he is. Now he came on the bench on the last few occasions, and he's played very, very well indeed. And even Mark Robbins is saying now, I'm really tempted to actually get him in the starting lineup. The only thing is perhaps his stamina is the thing that could let him down. Of course, his age at 32 may be a slight factor as well. Other players like Paddy Madden, who's now got 10 goals this season. who's proving to be an excellent acquisition. They've got decent player in Rory Fallon as well, who's played in various leagues too. Players that are in form at the moment. So I lean completely towards Scunthorpe here. You know, every week I do say, you know, I will give an indication as to what is possibly the outright price in the Football League, or certainly in League One and League Two this weekend. And I would say straight off the bat, Lee, that Scunthorpe at 3-1 is possibly the outright price in League One this weekend.
Interesting. Maybe a clue to Sam's nap there as well. Let's move on. Second game is Bradford versus Colchester. Bradford 10-11, 23-10 the draw, and 16-5 for Colchester. Well, Bradford have just been up to much recently. Pretty quiet, really. Can't really think of anything that's interesting to say about Bradford.
No,
Colchester, on the other hand, are 21st in League One with 27 points, minus 11 goal difference. I wonder how it affects you, Sam, obviously the 4-2 win over Chelsea. I wonder if it's a bit of a come down. I mean, it's interesting because they beat Millwall 4-0, which was an impressive performance as well, by the way. Millwall aren't going too well, but, you know, a division above them. And then they came back down to earth with a bump by losing to second bottom Yeovil. They've got a similar situation here where they've gone to Chelsea and inexplicably inflicted arguably the biggest ever FA Cup shock in the history of the competition on the best team in the land, and then they're going to play the fourth from bottom team.
Yeah, it's a very valid point. What I will say is that losing 1-0 away from Yeovil, especially when you're a northern side, you know, you've got it's a long way, and I know we're a lot of people, a lot of punters, even people on in-play radio will tell you that distance means nothing in football. But actually, you know, you're talking about a team here from up north going down to play Yeovil away from home. So 1-0, I wouldn't read too much into it. What I would say is that 9 times out of 10, I'd certainly agree with you on this whole sort of coming back down to earth with a bump and all that. But remember that season where Bradford City got promoted from League 2 to League 1? It was their first promotion in quite some time. That came about on the same season that they got through to the league to the Capital One Cup final. You know, at the pivotal point in the season, they didn't let it distract them. They had wins that they needed to be getting in the league, yet they were still able to have 4 matches in that time, in that semi-final time, in that quarter-final time. You know, those couple of games against... Oh, no, it was 1 game against Arsenal, wasn't it? But then 2 games against Aston Villa they came through. Then they played the match at Wembley, and they still went on to get promoted via the playoffs that season. They played an unbelievable amount of matches, and Phil Parkinson was able to juggle the squad, keep all the players happy, keep the fitness up as well, and grind out the results. Last season, it was very much the opposite in terms of very little cup action. They were out, I think, fairly early on in all the cup stages, as far as I can remember anyway. And they finished, they had a pretty mediocre season. They did okay in League One, but they certainly finished mid-table. Now, they're 8th in the table, they're only 1 point off the playoffs, 1 point off Rochdale, who are in 6th. And they're having this amazing FA Cup run as well. I mean, like you said, just a truly unbelievable, possibly the FA Cup shock of all time. I think they thrive on it. I really do. I think Phil Parkinson thrives on it. And I think they're a club that just that hasn't had anything happen, really, in the past 10 years, up until a couple of years ago. And now everything's happening and they're thriving on it. So on that basis, I'm very pro-Bradford. And the fact that they're good at home as well. They've lost just 1 in 7 at home now. 3 of their last 4 wins in the league have been on the -1 handicap as well. Of course, that 4-2 win against Chelsea, was that something like 250-1 that the -1 handicap would have landed? Something stupid
crazy
like that. You know, so on that basis, Lee, I'm actually quite pro-Bradford, and I'd look at the -1 handicap once again here at 11-5. I'm comparing that with Colchester, who, in fairness to them, are coming off the back of a 2-0 win themselves against Leyton Orient, but spoken before about Leyton Orient's troubles. And, away from home, they're not fantastic. Yes, they got a 2-0 win against Peterborough, but apart from that, not too many results of late. And I look at Freddie Sears, their main striker, who's now gone to Ipswich. Real body blow to lose him. He accounted for nearly a third of Colchester's league goals. He scored 10 goals. I think they've scored 31 goals in the league so far this season. So that is a huge blow to lose him. And you just wonder, have they got enough about them now to score any goals? I mean, look at their strikers, Lee. I think there's between what you could class as maybe 7 strikers at the club, there's 4 goals there. and they're all for Healy. So the rest of the players, they just haven't, well, they haven't really featured that much. So maybe you'll see some of the other players get a run of matches now. But still, there's obviously not enough there to have impressed the manager earlier on in the season. So I just worry, can they score enough goals, Colchester? So for me, I go Bradford -1 at 11-5. I think it's possibly a Bradford win to nil as well you may want to look at, but that's my standout bet there, Lee.
Very good. Final League One game is Chesterfield at home to Doncaster Rovers. Rovers are 2 points outside the playoffs. Chesterfield are safely in the middle of it all, with 38 points from the 26 games. Good home form as well. They had a defeat to the team we've just been talking about, Bradford City. But that's their only loss in the last six home games. 4 wins in there, and they've scored 3 goals in each of the last 3 games as well. That man, Owen Doyle, knocking them in. He scored in each of those 3 matches. 5 in 3 he's got. So in good nick at the moment. Doncaster Rovers don't lose many games away from home. In fact, they haven't lost since the 18th of October, but they have started to draw quite a few. 5 draws in the last 4 matches. I don't think they'd be too displeased, though, with a draw at Chesterfield, Doncaster Rovers, would they?
Well, not at all, Lee. Mainly because of how good Chesterfield's recent home form has been. In all competitions now, they've won their last 4 home matches. They beat Peterborough 3-2. They beat Port Vale 3-0. They beat Scunthorpe 2-0. That was an extra time. And they beat Crawley 3-0 as well. So quite a few goals going in there, Lee. In fact, all those last 4 have all been over 2.5 goals. So if you're looking for a way in on the old... on the old goals market, that's certainly an argument there that Chesterfield are going to score at least a couple here against Doncaster. You mentioned about Doncaster, and they are quite a tough side to beat. But, you know, I say this so many times when we talk about Doncaster on the league podcast, and it's so obvious, they're just not scoring enough goals. They've only scored 4 in their last 6 matches. They've only scored more than 1 goal in 1 of their last 7 away games as well, which isn't great. So I just wonder here, is there an argument that Chesterfield, you could possibly argue, again, in my opinion anyway, because I'm quite pro-Chesterfield here, you could possibly argue that another -1 handicap is worth looking at, purely for the fact that I think Chesterfield are going to score a couple of goals and that Doncaster might not score at all. Myself, I think that Doncaster have got just enough in them to at least... I know it's not positivity flowing here for Doncaster Rovers fans. I think Doncaster have got enough to at least get a consolation. So on that basis, I'll go with Chesterfield in over 2.5 goals at 23-10, Lee. They've signed Abdul Razak of Doncaster, which is a very he's a young, tenacious midfielder. He used to play for Manchester City. I think he's a very good signing for them. Paul Dick, he's finally got international clearance as well, so he should be available to play in this match. Nathan Tyson is back as well. So yes, we've mentioned the lack of goals that Donny have scored this season, but of course it's always worth having a player like Nathan Tyson in your team. So I think they've got enough to perhaps get a goal, and maybe your argument for both teams to score is there. But I think the safe, actually quite almost one of the safest bets here is the Chesterfield win, bearing in mind that they've won their last 4 games at home, and the over 2.5 goals, because that's also landed in the last 4 games as well. And I think the trend is going to carry on at least for one more game.
That's League One done and dusted then. 3 more matches to look at in League Two. Let's start with Burton Albion versus Bury. The odds, first of all, Burton 6-4, 11-5 the draw, and Bury 19-10. Burton third, Bury seventh. 7 points separating the two teams. Both good positive goal differences as well. Bury's only defeat in the last 7 games came at the hands of Dagenham and Redbridge, surprisingly enough, away from home. But their away form is a little hit and miss, but they've got a few wins in there as well. Beat Northampton, beat Accrington. Burton, obviously one of the success stories of the season in the league. They really lose, basically, Sam. You have to go back to 29th of November for the last loss, then back to the mid-October for the loss before that. Good side, Burton.
Oh, very good side. And when you say go back to the 29th of November. That was just a 1-0 loss against Shrewsbury. That's nothing to sniff at, bearing in mind how good Shrewsbury are at home, you know. So just one loss under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink. He first came in around about mid-November. They got that win against Wycombe Wanderers. That was the first win under him. And ever since then, they've just kicked on, to be honest. Third now. We've said all season they've got a decent squad. Gary Rowett did a fairly good job this season. They just tailed off a little bit under him, and of course he went to Birmingham. What a job that Jimmy Floyd has done here. And, you know, he's enjoyed... You know, sometimes you see these big managerial appointments down the lower sort of the lower reaches of the Football League, if you like, and sometimes it doesn't work. There's sometimes too much pressure on it or whatever, or the managers just don't know what they're letting themselves in for. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has taken this with open arms, let's say. He's done his research on every single club. There's no doubt about that. Many people have said that he really has gone out and has done as much research as possible. And the results are showing here. And you know, one thing that Jimmy Floyd has spoken about, particularly this week, we were speaking to the Derby Telegraph, the local Burton Albion newspaper, and he was saying it's so important that we play well at home for our fans, because they're the majority of fans that are turning up. They're the ones that are going to be talking about us. They're the ones that are paying the majority of the money. He said, when you're at home, this is your place, and this is where you have to be very dominant for your fans and for yourselves. This is where we're expressing ourselves the majority of the time, blah, blah, blah. And it's shown they've won their last five home games. They've only conceded one goal in that time at home. That is that's some going, to say the least. And you compare that to Bury, who, well, they've lost 7 out of 10 away games. I'd say they're slightly underachieving this season. In a League Two division of overachievers, your likes of Wycombe, your likes of Burton, I would say your likes of Shrewsbury at home to a certain extent, I would say that Bury are perhaps one of the underachievers at the moment slightly. David Flitcroft is... he's still learning, to say the least. He's a fairly young manager, and he has come out and said this week that he it was a big decision to drop his captain. He did it. It worked for them, so he's not afraid to make the big decisions. But I don't think they get anything here, Lee. And I go for Burton on the outright. It's 6-4, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, 6-4. I do like that price. Another price I like is Adam McGurk anytime at 2-1. Now, fans, not necessarily of Burton, but Football League fans may well be... may well know about Adam McGurk, because he was one of the main figures in helping Burton to the playoffs and helping them in the playoffs last season. Of course, they lost in the playoff final. But he was arguably man of the match in both legs in which Burton played. He was unlucky in the final as well. Technically, he's an excellent, excellent player. He's been a bit unfortunate this season with injuries and the like. But he scored the other day, and... Jimmy Floyd, again, has come out and said he's so pleased that Adam McGurk was able to get on the score sheet, because he knows what quality he's got, and he wants to be able to put him in his starting 11. He wants to be able to feel that the form is back, that the fitness is back, and I think it is back. So at 2-1 any time, it's a player that you're not going to base on for the fact that he scored a hatful this season, because he hasn't. But having looked at him, knowing the qualities that he has, and the skills that he can sort of possess and the threat, I do like that at 2-1. So for me, I'm pro Burton here, 6-4 on the outright. I like Adam McGurk anytime at 2-1 is another price I like in that one.
Luton Cambridge next up. Luton are priced up at 19-20. Cambridge are 16-5, and the draw is 9-4. Luton fourth with 47 points on the board, so five off the top team Wickham. At Cambridge on 36 points, so quite a way off at seventh, but safely mid-table at the moment, and been in good form as well recently. Obviously had the nil-nil draw with Manchester United, and they've got the replay coming up on Tuesday night. You can't help but think at least one eye will be on that, maybe one and a half eyes. Luton themselves, great home form. And that's why they are where they are. They'd need to have both eyes in this game, Cambridge, to avoid suffering defeat here, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, I think there's certainly an argument for that, Lee. We know how good Luton are at home. There's a few sides in this division that are very good at home, and they're certainly one of them. You know, they went through that quite brilliant run where they won eight matches in a row, wasn't it, at home. They've drawn their last couple. A 1-1 draw with Portsmouth, slightly surprising, that one. A 0-0 draw with Shrewsbury, well, that's slightly less surprising, to say the least. Do you know what here, Lee? I'm looking at this, and I can't say that I'm going off stats on this particular occasion, but I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking there's an argument here that we're going to see both teams to score. Now, Luton are normally very good at defending at home. But here, Cambridge are a very, very attacking side indeed. They normally always go for the 4-4-2. They enjoy the wing play. It's almost like watching a team from the 90s when you watch Cambridge United. They utilise the wingers. They get balls into the box, but they do it well. They're not sort of pump it into the box, scrappy team. You know, the build-up's very good, and you know people will have seen in that game against Man United, the likes of Ryan Donaldson down the right-hand side, putting some excellent crosses into the box, into the likes of Tom Elliott and players like that. So I think here that Cambridge have got a goal in them. They've scored in their last six away games. I've got no reason to believe why they're not going to score again. And Richard Money, well, he's said a few times this week already that they want all 3 points. You know, sometimes you go to a team like Luton, fourth in the division, good few places above yourselves, and you go there, and you say, well, actually, we want to get a draw. On this occasion, Richard Money, he wants all 3 points. I like that about him. I think Cambridge are going to go for this. I think you're going to see goals. And because of the lack of goals, certainly on Luton's part, that they concede at home, the both teams to score is decent value evens, I believe. You know, a lot of the time you'll see an 8-11 shot for both teams to score, something like that. Here it's evens, and for that reason, I like that, Lee. So there's certainly an argument that Luton will go on and win this, but for me in this one, your best bet is both teams to score evens.
Very good. Final match that we'll look at is the top-of-the-table team, Wycombe Wanderers, taking on 18th place Portsmouth, who, as we know, don't get an awful lot on the road. Picked up four draws in the last 12 matches away from home. The rest have been defeats. That's including the FA Cup, by the way. Wycombe. I mean, three defeats all season, going along very nicely indeed. Point clear of Shrewsbury at the moment. They've drawn a few recently, at Bury and at Mansfield. They drew both those. Shouldn't be too harsh on them because they're away games. Also drew away at Shrewsbury and Accrington. So no win away from home in four. But obviously this is at the Adams Park, so back where they belong. You could argue, though, still, Sam, that 1-0 against York, 1-0 against Hartlepool, 1-1 Luton. Luton's fine, but the York and Hartlepool results, you maybe question those a little bit. Only 1-0 wins.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I look at this game, Lee, to be honest, and I think you've slightly picked them up already in the amount of times you've said they're number one. I don't think we're going to see many goals at all. The last seven games that Wycombe have played in have been under 2.5 goals. They've been unbeaten in that time, and they're top of the table. So a bit of negativity, you could say, in the fact that they've been under 2.5 goals in their matches. But they're doing very well, and Gareth Ainsworth is doing quite an incredible job, I'll say it once again, with the resources that he has. You know, on the whole, they are playing four substitutes just about for every game that they're playing against. And to be top of the table by doing that is quite some going. So what a job he is doing. Of course, he's got that long-term contract as well, so well done to him. And you compare that with Portsmouth, who have been, well, I mean, what a poor, poor season they're having. 18th in League Two. They could feasibly go down here. I mean, they're counting themselves quite fortunate that, A, there's quite a... Well, there's certainly, in Hartlepool, there's almost a guarantee, I'm afraid to say, almost a guaranteed relegation there. But, you know, in the fact that there's only two relegation spots, it's sort of quite lucky on their behalf, 18th in the division at the moment. And they've got the second worst away record in League Two, of course, only bettered by Hartlepool. But most worryingly for Pompey fans is that they've scored the least amount of goals in League Two away from home. They've scored just 6 goals. Even Hartlepool have scored 9 goals. That's horrendous, really, considering that we're, 26 games into the season, so you're averaging, about 13 away games. To score 6 goals, so poor. And then you compare that with Wycombe, who, you know, look at a couple of their results. Look at a couple of their home results, particularly. 1-1 against Luton. A couple of away results in there as well. 0-0 against Shrewsbury, 1-1 against Bury, 0-0 against Mansfield. I think here there's real, real opportunity to get very good value on the outright and the unders. So Wycombe, an under 2.5 goals, 11-4. I think that's a brilliant price, Lee. I really, really do here because, first of all, I can't see Portsmouth scoring. So if you can't see Portsmouth scoring but you fancy the Wycombe win, you're saying that Wycombe have got to win at least 3-0 to scupper your 11-4 shot. Well, I can't see that. So on that basis, I think that Wycombe to win an under 2.5 goals is a quite excellent bet.
Yeah,
not
sounds
to blow my own trumpet or anything.
No, no, it's fine. No, it looks good. Nap time. Pete and I have already picked ours, both goal scorers from the championship. I've gone for Daryl Murphy to score any time for Ipswich at even money. That's got a very good chance of landing. Obviously, he's been in great nick recently, hasn't he? And he's got a chance of a few goals here, I think, against Wigan, who are having a bit of a struggle. Pete has gone for one tonight on Friday, as we record this, in the Bournemouth Watford game, and that's Odion Ighalo to score any time for Watford at 9-5. He was one of the many people who scored in the 7-2 win over Blackpool. Yeah, I think he got four, didn't he? He's been in good nick, of course, recently. So, they're our two naps. 9-5 for Pete's, even money for mine. Where are you going, Sam, for your last ever nap?
Well, I mean, you mentioned before that the pressure on this one, eh? You mentioned before that Scunthorpe at 3-1 is... Well, possibly, I could be a nap for me there, and there's an argument that it could be. I think it's a brilliant outright price, but 11-4 for the Wickham winning unders, it's screaming out to me, Lee, to be honest. So, 11-4, Wickham Wanderers to beat Portsmouth. They're at home. I think is a brilliant bet. Under 2.5 goals.
Yeah. Very good.
I really like it.
The standings as we deliver that nap. Pete's on -90.32. If he goes into triple minus figures, then that's sensational. I'm on -22.75 because I actually had a winner last week, unbelievably, with the City Borough draw at 30 minutes. And Sam is on £63.50 in the plus column, which is pretty good going. We mentioned it earlier in the podcast. This is Sam's last podcast with us. It's been a pleasure, Sam. You're going to entrust that £63.50 to Jason Lewis, who's the new editor of the 72.co.uk. And he's going to be joining us every week to look at League One and League Two. Jason, hello, first of all.
Hi, mate.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good. Thanks, you.
Yeah, looking forward to this. You got a bit of pressure on your shoulders here from Sam. He's leaving you with a bit of a burden.
Yeah, he leaves me a lot to do, Sam, over the last few years, and it's quite a tough one, this.
Well, I said at the start of the season, Jason, I said the aim on the nap table was to get up to £100 by the end of this season. Now, we're about halfway through, Lee, would you say? A little bit over halfway through. And £63. So no pressure on you to take it over that triple figure mark, eh?
There you go. I'll try my best.
You've come in at the right time because he's just started to dip off a little bit. The form's just started to waver. So it's like we've brought on a second half, a substitution on the hour mark. some fresh legs coming in.
They're needed.
Jason, we'll speak to you next week, won't we, ahead of the League One and League Two action. Sam, thanks very much for all your effort over the last few months on the podcast and on In Play Radio, and wish you good luck for the future.
Thank you, Lee. It's been great fun, and I really enjoyed interacting with people on Twitter and on the radio as well. So thanks very much from me, and I really enjoyed it.
No problem. We'll be back next week, as I said, with Jason Lewis and myself looking at League One and League Two. In the meantime, you can download this podcast at the72.co.uk, at williamhill.com/podcasts, on audioboom.com, and if you go to iTunes, you can subscribe there, and it gets delivered to your phone, your tablet, or your PC. If you're having a bet on any of the Football League action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.